as we move on into this so-called biotech revolution and we start producing more and more transgenic manipulations, we'll start seeing pieces of DNA interacting with each other in ways that are totally unpredictable.
We have now learned that genes function in complex networks, and a single gene can express or influence many traits.
I think this is probably the largest biological experiment humanity has ever entered into.
The Flavor Saver tomato was the first genetically engineered food to reach the public. Calgene, the corporation that produced the tomato, had done 3 voluntary feeding studies on rats and found lesions in some of the rats' stomachs. Over the objections of several government scientists, the tomatoes were approved in May 1994. The Flavor Saver tomato didn't hold up in shipping, and consumers didn't like it, so it was taken off the market. The first time many Americans became aware that genetically modified foods were part of their everyday diet was in the year 2001.
Last fall, during lunch with co-workers, Grace Booth enjoyed 3 chicken enchiladas. The food, she recalls, was very good, but then something went very wrong.
I felt my chest getting tight, and it was hard to breathe.
She didn't know, but she was going into shock.
What are you thinking at this point?
I thought, oh my God, what is happening to me? What is going on? Something is very, very wrong. I felt like I was going to die.
In the emergency room in nearby Oakland, the diagnosis was severe allergic reaction. And from here, Grace Booth's story reached official Washington. At the time, the national corn market was in an uproar. Starlink, a gene-modified corn not approved for human food, had been found in taco shells, and recalls were emptying the shelves of corn products. The fear was possible allergic reactions.
If I want a bowl of cornflakes, I want to know that it's safe to eat a bowl of cornflakes.
Do you feel that level of safety right now?
Absolutely not.
It is almost inevitable that there have been thousands of people that have had from a very mild to perhaps serious allergic reaction to Starlink, you know.
If it had not been for public interest organizations going in and testing that corn on our own, doing the government's job for it, this scandal would never have come out and this potential health risk to humans never would have been discovered.
There are 3 government agencies which are responsible for the safety of GMOs. The Department of Agriculture is responsible for assessing the environmental impacts of GMO crops and regulates GMO field testing. But a study of over 8,000 GMO field test applications showed that the USDA did not require a single environmental assessment. The Environmental Protection Agency regulates insecticides. BT, a natural insecticide, is engineered into every cell of genetically engineered BT crops. The Food and Drug Administration is responsible for food safety. Any novel substance in food must be tested.
When the biotech companies went to get regulatory approval, they did so on the basis that what they were doing was substantially equivalent, was the term which was being used, substantially equivalent to classical breeding practices, and therefore it should not be regulated in any way. At the same time, however, companies have insisted on patenting their products. And in order to get a patent, it has to be different than anything else. So on the one hand, we're saying it's very different because we want to patent it. On the other hand, it's substantially equivalent, so don't bug us with regulation.
Substantial equivalency is obviously nonsense. These, at the cellular level, again, these foods have bacteria, viruses, new genetic constructs that no other food's ever had in history. They're clearly not equivalent.
Since GMOs were considered substantially equivalent to regular food, they fall into the GRAS, or Generally Recognized as Safe category, and the government does not require testing or labeling.
To me, one of the most incomprehensible things about U.S. policy is that we do not even require the labeling of genetically engineered foods.
Many of those GMOs are in the form of corn syrup and soy lecithin. In 2002, a concerned mother in Oregon put a couple thousand dollars into an initiative to label GMOs.
How can we trust the same multinational corporations that told us that PCBs, DDT, and dioxin are safe? They don't even want us to know what it is that we're eating. The FDA ignored their own scientists' warnings about the dangers of genetically engineered foods. This is our children's future we're talking about. Let's join 25 other countries that require labeling. It doesn't cost their farmers or consumers anymore. Vote yes on 27. Let's label genetically engineered foods.
The measure was defeated by the $4.6 million industry campaign that features a farmer who resembles the mother.
The last thing we need is more government red tape, more bureaucracy, and higher costs. But that's exactly what Oregon farmers, consumers, and taxpayers would get if Measure 27 passes.
Poll after poll has revealed that 80 to 90% of Americans want GMO food labeled. But the Genetically Engineered Food Right to Know Act that Representative Kucinich, Senator Boxer, and others have introduced every year since 1999 is still waiting to be voted on by Congress.
The public in Europe has reacted with anger and concern at the idea that genetically engineered food products will be on their supermarket shelves. The latest polls showed at least 75% of the European public do not want genetically engineered food.
In response to demand from their citizens, all 15 countries of the European Union adopted rules requiring the labeling of genetically engineered food.
But I think there's a very good reason why the corporations have fought so hard against this labeling. It isn't just about consumer choice. Without labeling, there's no real traceability for the health effects of genetically engineered foods. If you're a mother and you're feeding your baby infant formula, and it's not labeled as genetically engineered with soy, for example, and your child has a toxic or allergic reaction, there's no way you're going to know that that was caused by genetic engineering because it's not on the label. If, however, it is on the label, then you can say, you know what, maybe that contributed to this response in my child. You go to your doctor records it, and there's traceability, and we can begin to get a database on the health effects. And, of course, once that database is created, then we have liability to the corporations. So they're opposing labeling, not just because it creates choice and they're afraid that their products will not be bought, but also because labeling is the key way we can trace the health effects of genetically engineered foods and the key way to get the corporations liable for these health effects.
The Japanese people are deeply concerned about the effects of genetically modified food. A trade representative stated, "We will watch the children in the United States for the next 10 years." In addition to claiming these products were safe, the biotech industry claimed they would increase yield.
Advances in biotechnology can help us produce more food on land we already cultivate or on land that's currently unsuitable for farming.